All right, we're recording. What's up, everyone? This is Kevin Daisy from the Managing Partners Podcast. Today, I have a really cool guest who's a friend and a client. Joe Biff Bowers is on the show with me. We're going to talk about his firm just a little bit. And Joe Biff's been on the show before. But also, we're here today to talk about outside the firm. So what you lawyers like to do out of the firm, whether it's side companies or other investment companies, or maybe it's just hobbies, things you'd love to do. But I really want to kind of like break out and like talk about the things outside the law firm and things that you really truly love to do outside of that. So Joe Biff's got some really cool side businesses that he has and that he loves to do. And so I want to have him on today to kind of talk about that. And we're just going to riff a little bit on things like that. And I'm going to throw in, you know, what I do and things I do outside of marketing for law firms. So, Joba, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's obviously, like you said, I've been on the show before just talking about the law practice. It's been a little while. And that thing is, I think that many of us in this profession, especially if we're running firms, we're dealing with the day-to-day minutiae, and especially those of us that kind of are running firms and still practicing law actively, it gets to be quite a bit. And burnout is real. So, you know, I obviously my side passions are something that help keep me sane, although, and we've all had these days. So you know who you are when I'm speaking to you, and it's probably most of you, those days where you feel like, you know, it's time to run away and join the circus. And that's kind of what I'm actively angling toward doing eventually. It's certainly not a today or a tomorrow thing, but, you know, the pieces are in place for me to make that jump. I'm still probably a decade away from doing it, at least in a never show up to my office full-time capacity. But if anything, I want to do this to just encourage anybody who is kind of hesitant about those side things to, hey, lean into them a little bit, because they are what keep you sane most of the time. Because no matter what we do, no matter how good we are at doing it in that quote unquote professional world, there's always somebody, something that's just a little too much on that particular day. I've been spending the better part of the last 5 or 6 years entertaining people with various mystery arts, whether it be just strolling magic in bars and stuff like that to stage performances. And in the past couple of years, I've been almost exclusively performing stage hypnosis. So when I'm not practicing law, I am on stage hypnotizing people and making them do silly stuff. No clinical stuff, no therapeutic, none of that, because I think that element is me stepping out of one frying pan and just into another on a different burner. So I'm not getting into that realm. I'm not going to help you quit smoking or anything like that. But one of the passions for it isn't just performing, but a new project that we've been working on with Ray just recently launched a new website, because a lot of the shows that I do, my number one target market for these shows is working with either nonprofit organizations, school groups, largely high schools, you know, teams and different organizations there, and just other charitable causes to put on my show and help them raise money. So it's been something that I've been doing quite a bit of. And, you know, I feel like I almost worked you guys for the better part of a year to get you to say, okay, we'll step out of doing law firms all day, every day, and put this project together for you. Obviously you didn't ask for this endorsement, but here it is. I didn't give up on getting you guys to do this because of the success that we've had with the law firm and the trust that we've built, or that you guys have built, and that collectively that process, I wouldn't want the project to land somewhere else. You know, I want it to be done right. And it's just, it's kind of, it's grown to the point where for me, you know, successfully running anything is about figuring out how you shift responsibilities and delegate tasks and things like that. And it's gotten to the point for me where a lot of my time is now better served receiving leads through something like a website like this, instead of targeting organizations and trying to get them to do a show. So the website that we've put together here, uniquefundraiserideas.com, is designed to get those organizations wanting what I do to find me instead of me going out there and shaking the trees. You know, if that recaptures an extra 5 to 10 hours a week for me, fantastic. But yeah, that's kind of been the extension of this passion project. So it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's already, you know, in just a couple of years, taken me all over the U.S. doing this stuff. I've done, you know, shows in Oregon and Vegas, and I'll be in New York, in Rochester, New York, Western New York next week and a half, probably around the time that this ends up dropping. So if you see it in time, I'll be at the Rochester Fringe Festival. These are not the Fringe Festival shows are not fundraiser shows. I don't exclusively do fundraiser shows. Those are just the place that if I were to choose the first type of show that I'm going to do, I might as well do this fun thing that I'm doing and have it benefit some sort of good cause. So,
I love it. So yeah, the website address is down here below. And yeah, kind of what led to this episode discussion is, Joe Best has been a client of ours with his personal injury firm in Maryland. So you can check them out. I'm not sure what your web address there. Is it Bowers?
BowersLawMD.com.
BowersLawMD from Maryland.com. So BowersLawMD. But that's his day-to-day, his law practice. That's what, you know, he focuses on mostly during the day. But, you know, getting to know Joe Beth for a while, I knew that he, you know, did magic shows and hypnosis and all this other stuff. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit. But he was like, hey, would you guys do my website and my content SEO for my other businesses? And so, you know, happy to help. And so I think that's the cool thing. You know, we only work with law firms, but our lawyers come to us with other things sometimes. And we've helped multiple clients in situations where maybe it's not a law firm website or law firm content or SEO, but we're happy to help with those things. And so, you know, as lawyers, you know, you're into other things, especially if you're wired as a business owner. You know, you're probably always thinking about something else. And I know that's for me, you know,
for sure.
Constantly thinking like, what else could I be doing, you know, with my time? And what else do I enjoy? And in your case, you enjoy it and it's, you know, it actually makes money as well. So, you know, it's kind of one of those, it's a win-win situation. So check out the website, uniquefundraiserideas.com. And Joe Best, you know, it's making money, and we can talk about that, but it's also, it's a fundraiser platform, you know, for, you know, anything. So if you have a nonprofit or you're part of a board on a nonprofit, you know, they can go around the country. But he's helping nonprofits raise money while his team and him, you know, can make what they need to make. So I think
it's really, you know, the programs that I've put together, because I've been doing the nonprofit shows for some time now. So it's given me an opportunity to kind of grow and expand really how that works. And any nonprofit, it doesn't matter how new or how well established they are or really anywhere in between. You know, I have done shows where the nonprofit is already having an event, you know, whether it be a banquet or a gala or something like that, and they are looking for entertainment. They already know that they're going to sell out the event. They already know that they've got a bunch of sponsors. They don't need me to be the draw. They want to add me into the thing. So there we just work out a flat fee that covers my expenses and makes it worth my time. Boom, done, go. Easy enough. Other organizations that are looking to either add an additional annual fundraiser or have been doing the same boring stuff over and over again, and it kind of gets tedious and old. You know, a lot of this is they want something new, they want something unique, and you know, it can be tenuous for groups that are just doing, you know, they may be established, but it might be the first time trying to push something like this. So I've got pricing structures that are in place that are risk-free for the organizations, and it's based on both ticket sales and sponsorship sales. I've got some 1099 folks on my end that will do the outreach to sell a lot of those sponsorships. That was normally something originally that I would encourage groups to, hey, sell these sponsorships, make extra money.
It's on the nonprofit. Yeah.
And then they didn't do it. Some did. None did as many as I felt like they should have done. And these to me are just opportunities, you know, because organizations, many of us watching this podcast have sponsored events like what I'm talking about or totally different fundraiser events. And a lot of times for us, it's just cut the check. You're going to display my logo. You may or may not even show up at the event because your schedule sometimes just doesn't permit you to, but you want to support the cause.
Yeah.
You know, so I always would just lean on these organizations to say, hey, I don't want to say this is free money, but it's free money. You know, these folks want to support what you're doing. They, you know, we need as you know, and being on both sides of this, being a business owner, I know that there's benefit to having, you know, the community engagement, the write-off, whatever it is, everybody's got a different reason for why they're doing it. And sometimes it's, you know, it's a mixed bag of, I just believe in what you're doing. I want the write-off. I want to be known for it. Some of the, you know, maybe all of it for some people.
Yeah.
So all of it's there and, you know, easy for people to do. And just obviously these folks, a lot of times are in the business of doing what it is that they're doing with that cause. So putting the sales hat on is not always their first favorite thing to do, or you know, part of the reason they're doing this fundraiser is that they need extra money for staffing, which means they don't have the staffing to get somebody out there hustling these things. And so I started putting people in place that as of right now they're all independent contractors. My hope is that over the next year that grows to the point where they're doing some of that stuff full time. But yeah, I mean, most of the time, if it's one of the ones where we're doing, you know, a split and it's not just somebody, you know, easier for me to measure the success of, hey, we brought in X amount of dollars. The show was the fundraiser. You know, I wasn't getting booked to be part of something. We raised X. Normally the average on these is somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 the first time somebody does one of them. And it, I mean, it's a hypnosis show. If you've never been to a hypnosis show, it's ridiculous, hilarious, fun. So the first
there's some videos things, on your website,
yeah, here, I believe, right? Yeah, there's videos on the website. When my name pops up, the thing underneath of it is the social media tag, which is on Instagram, Twitter, which is now X. That also, if you go to youtube.com/psychicish, it'll take you to the whole YouTube channel. So you can see video clips from shows. You can see testimonials from people who have been part of the show. But it's the kind of thing that, like, the next day or 2 days after one of these shows, if not before I leave the venue, people are talking to me about booking the event for the next year. And you can feel the buzz in the room. So I have not yet done a fundraiser show for an organization and then done the second one. There is one coming in a few months, but it is definitely a, it's great the first time. It should be a huge booming success the second time through, because a lot of people don't know what it is. They go there and it's like, oh, ooh, this was a lot of fun. And then, you know, you could just feel that buzz in a room. Next time we're back here doing this, you're going to have to turn people away. Which is obviously is the goal, not just for us and for me doing shows filled, you know, with rooms that are filled with people, but also, you know, most of the time in most of these arrangements, I'm capping my fee. So I may take a percentage of the ticket sales, but the most you're going to pay me is X. with respect to, you know, and that varies because I will factor that, you know, that number is going to be lower if I'm driving, you know, an hour to do a show and coming home afterwards versus flying halfway across the country.
Multiple days.
But, yeah. But I incur that risk. I'm happy to incur that risk of my expense. You know, again, my fee caps higher, but you're not paying extra money to fly me out. You're not paying extra money to put me up in a hotel. I'm just hoping that we sell more of these tickets so that I make the money on that end. But ultimately, the goal is to make sure that organization's making as much money as possible. I want it to be a successful event. I want to do it year after year for some of these groups, for most of these groups. But yeah, it's, and like I said, it's a ton of fun. And yeah, you mentioned, you know, people watching probably are part of nonprofits, support nonprofits, are on boards, or have kids that are in school, like high school kids that are on teams, sports, that are always teams. You know, I don't want to tell people to stop buying those really bad pizza kits that we all hate, but they're the biggest thing that I like to tell people is with a fundraiser like that, if you get past the eye rolling of, okay, this again, it's a two-phase process. You got to get your kids out there on the street selling all these pizza kits or cookie dough.
Boy Scouts, and they got to start going popcorn.
Popcorn time, whatever it is, right? There's that whole phase of taking all the orders and getting all the commitments, and then when you put those orders in, you're just getting started. Phase two, all the stuff shows up. And you've got to sort it, and you've got to make sure it's all there, and you've got to get it to the right people. You got to hope that your organization doesn't get burned by some kid who loses something, forgets to deliver it, doesn't deliver it, whatever.
You basically get all the parents to buy stuff.
Yeah. This is simple. You're offering people a fun, entertaining evening, and whether it is just me doing the show or myself and my stage partner or another colleague, let's say there's a conflict or something, because I've got a network of other professionals that will fill in on gigs if I'm not able to do one or have a conflict, because it happens regularly. Inevitably I book something, and then within days I have two or three more inquiries on for that same day. Whether it be fundraiser or otherwise. So day of the show, the most work that you've got to do is double check the ticket list. Did you buy tickets? Okay, cool. Come on in. Done. And then sit back and enjoy the show. There's no sorting. There's no distributing. There's no fingers crossed hoping it gets there. I'm going to show up, or my team's going to show up. We're going to either hook into the auditorium sound system and do the show, or we're going to bring our own, depending on the scenario. And then it's just going to happen. You know, it's a professional touring show. I've taken it to all four corners of the country and continue to do so. So I know what I'm providing. I know that it's hands off day of, and super easy and fun to do. And then the check goes in the bank, which is the best part.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of bring it back to the fact that you run a personal injury firm, all while this is happening, and you're going to these shows, you're traveling, you're running this other business. And so you've obviously got your firm in place that allows you to do that. Now, like you said, you can't walk off in the sunset just yet, but you're in a pretty good spot compared to, you know, some lawyers that I speak with that.
Yeah. That I don't want to say the operation. Yeah. It certainly doesn't run itself. But there are a lot of great pieces in place, and it's kind of the same thing that my goal is in having you guys do the website for the entertainment side of things is, you know, the one thing that I don't spend a ton of time or money doing is traditional advertising for the law firm.
We do SEO content for you.
There are two things that are where my business for the law practice comes from, and it's web, organic SEO stuff. I mean, some of it's my market, a lot of it is you guys at Array, but I dominate, you know, the geo market for what I do. I dominate the geo market for stuff I don't do. So I'm also, you know, and there's value in that. As frustrating and as annoying as it is for you and your staff to quote unquote waste time flipping referrals through, the more business that you're referring out, whether you're getting a piece of that action as some sort of a fee split, depending on your state's ethical, you know, arrangements with that, or whether it's just the goodwill mm-hmm. of, hey, I don't do this and you do, so I'm going to send it to you. I know that you take care of it. Remember me because this is what I do. And I'm not even speaking in specific practice areas because I know that you've got clientele across the spectrum. And
yeah, you've reached out to me a few times.
You know, too specific that people will think it doesn't apply to them. Well, it does. You know, be that hero to somebody else. Take those leads that you don't want. Find somebody that you can trust to get them out to. And, you know, that'll eventually come back to them not dealing with what you do and fill up the pipeline there. But that's, you know, that's an element where, like I said, for traditional advertising, you know, my money is spent web and SEO. My time, as far as any of that is concerned, is just spent networking with business organizations and different kind of networking groups. And then if I'm spending a dollar someplace that my law firm's name is getting out there, it is sponsoring some sort of community event, whether it's, you know, the upcoming Towns Fall Fest or a handful of nonprofits that I want to support here locally. Whatever it is, I that kind of community enrichment is where my money is spent. I'm not on TV. I don't need to be on TV. In fact, if I uptick my business that much, of what might happen coming on TV, I just don't want it. And it also is such a wider, you know, I'm unique, I think, in the sense that geographically I've kind of drilled down to an area. I know a lot of people are like, hey, I'll take anything that's in my purview within, you know, the entire range of jurisdictions that you're licensed. I shop a lot of that out, even injury stuff that would fit right into my system, right into my wheelhouse. I like to keep it right here in my backyard. And, you know, of course that gives me a little mailbox money as well of, you know, those referral fees eventually dripping in, but really it's keeping a tight ship and a tight operation. Which makes it easier for me to gallivant off. And, you know, I'm going to be spending a week in Rochester, New York, doing their Fringe Festival. And then I'm home for like 2 days and then I'm off to Michigan. I'll be teaching and presenting at the Performing Hypnosis, the Michigan Hypnosis Conference.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So
you run your firm remote. You don't need to be sitting there.
There are very few things now, you know, September of 2024 that I physically need to be here for. Almost everything has somebody that's going to do it when I'm not here. There's very, very little that, you know, signing checks is about it. That's the only thing that exclusively has my name on it right now that somebody else isn't going to do. And a lot of those payments and things like that end up getting done electronically and digitally, so there's less and less of that each day. So
it's great to also, you know, just kind of talking to everyone that's listening, you know, if you're listening to this or see this on LinkedIn or wherever you're at, comment, you know, things that you do on the side, you know, or side businesses, they could be hobbies. You know, for me, I know, yeah, I like to go backpacking and hiking and snowboarding and surfing and all these other things. Me and my wife have a real estate business on the side. We have multiple short-term rentals, Airbnbs. So we're closing on a house actually this coming week. And speaking of remote, I'm closing on one other property and I'm not even going to show up. Like, it's all going to be remote, pay a couple extra $100. It can all be done electronically. So,
yeah.
So, you know, it's for me, I know, you know, to do something else outside of the business day to day is helpful. Changes gears a little bit, gets you to focus on something else. Or you can just be inundated and just taken over by your company, your employees, your staff, you know. So for me, it's, I like to have something else going on and something that I can do with my wife in this case, you know, and keep that because she's an employee at a company, right? So
yeah,
having, you know, kind of a business, you know, with hers is kind of cool. So I'd be interested to see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, I have one lawyer down in Florida. He carves pipes, like wood, you know, like tobacco pipes, like these, you know, crazy looking like wood pipes. He's all into it. He's got like a website. You can buy them. And I don't think he's like trying to make money, but because he makes a ton of money, I'm sure, running his firm. But there's something he's passionate about. And it gives him something else to focus on. And so I'm just interested to hear what others have done out there and see what kind of cool, you know, list of stuff we can come up with. So what about you, Joe? Beth, anyone else you know that even does like something like what you do or other lawyers that you've ran into that do something that's unique?
I mean, a lot of what
is what you got.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I see, you know, with folks connected in my community, you know, and one of the interesting things, though, when you're in, I think it's different in other practice areas, but like when you do what I do, personal injury world, I'm not in court as much as some other practitioners. So, and I also have. Because, you know, like you do a family law case, let's say a divorce or custody or child support or whatever, you're probably getting hired as a local attorney in the community. And then the other party is hiring another local practitioner in the community. So you're dealing with somebody that you know, you're dealing with somebody that their office might be down the street or around the corner from you. You see them in court on the regular basis. You know, even if you're practicing criminal law, it's the same batch of state's attorneys or district attorneys, depending on the verbiage where you are, in the same courtrooms. So you're seeing a lot of the same people. I don't have that world. You know, my opposing counsel on the cases that we file suit in are staff counsel from insurance companies. Those folks, I mean, there are some companies that have in-house counsel that we see a lot of people over and over again on cases, but they're all, you know, for me, I'm in a rural jurisdiction. So, you know, major market is Baltimore near me. They're all out of Baltimore. They, you know, when we're doing depositions, I have home field advantage. Hey, we're doing it here in my office, which means somebody from your office
has to
hop in a car and you know, go through traffic an hour plus to get to my office to do this depo. And I'm going to roll out of bed, throw some clothes on, drive 10 minutes to my office, putz around, drink some coffee. Oh, my client's here. Let's prep for the depo. Yeah, it's going to be at least another hour and a half till opposing counsel gets here. Sure, they've left already, but they're probably in some traffic on 95 or on the Beltway or wherever they might be coming from. And, you know, it's my camaraderie is different. You know, I don't have a whole lot of people that I know about, but I see people that travel a lot. That I'm connected to on social media. One of the attorneys that I know, it's some sort of martial arts type of thing. I can't remember what it's called, but it involves these like little sticks that you beat each other with.
Oh, nice.
There's like everything. There's a specific name for it that I can't place, but I mean, he not only does this stuff, but he travels all over the place. And I haven't seen anything in a while, so maybe he's not doing it now. But, like, he would go and compete and win competitions stuff. So that was it's always pretty cool to see those kind of updates. And yeah, people doing different stuff. It's always fun.
Yeah, I know a local attorney here to me in Virginia Beach. He's got a nice law practice. He does a lot of, like, real estate kind of stuff. But, yeah, he's a new jiu-jitsu like master. He trains Navy SEALs how to fight. So, and he's a lawyer. He's a badass guy. Brett Thompson, actually, his name. And so, yeah, he's always done that. He's always been part of who he is. And most of his social media is like him taking ice baths and fighting and training. And then he'll cut over to his law office and doing his law stuff throughout the day. So it's kind of worked into like who he is. But I think that's really cool to be authentic and just be who you are. But I think maybe what it comes back to, kind of what you were saying, you know, the way your law practice is set up, is like it's kind of designing the life you want, right? So if your law practice, if you practice a type of law that didn't allow you to do these things, or you were just tied to the desk, and that wouldn't be a really good way, you know, that wouldn't be good for you, right? That wouldn't work for you.
Yeah.
So what you have done is you're in an area, you've kind of set it up to where you can be there when you need to be, but you're not tied to the desk. You can go travel. You can do these other things. And I think that's a big thing there, is how do you design a law firm practice that works for you, you know, and what you want to accomplish.
And it's not something that's going to happen without you making an effort for it to happen. Because when I first opened my practice, my solo practice, when it was just me, it was just full court press. And I, you know, again, I happen to be in a market where doing what I do, I'm one of the few people who does it. I'm probably the only one that exclusively does what I do with respect to injury and auto accidents and things of that nature. I got so busy so fast that it just became overwhelming. And I often tell this story somewhere on the crowded desktop of shenanigans. There is a PDF of the very first newsletter that I sent out. And this was, you know, we would mail these things out. And I think some people still physically mail newsletters, but most of this has gone digital, right? And it is volume one, issue one.
How much is that worth?
I don't know what it's worth. I don't even know if anybody physically has them. But like I had when I started my practice, I had a nice contact list. Addresses of former clients from another firm that I was at that I branched off and did my own thing, other associated colleagues, this, that, and the other. And I want to say that like day one, I mailed out somewhere between 500 to 1,000 of these. Again, this was, you know, quite some time ago, so I don't remember exactly. And, you know, it was like informative stuff and some news and, hey, here's a list of people who've referred me business. You know, kind of put their name there so that other people want their name there. All of those traditional types of like old school marketing tactics and techniques. And ask me about volume one, issue two. Doesn't exist. I got so damn busy so fast that I never put the second one out. Like it overwhelms you after a while. It starts to create that burnout. And the opposite of what we were talking about, the law firm and the business dictated my lifestyle. And it took a little while to completely, and anybody that works in this field or one that's similar to it practice area wise will understand, it takes a little while to completely fill that pipeline. And but once that pipeline is completely filled, and it's completely filled to the level that you want it to be, it's really time to start taking stuff out of that pipeline, and not necessarily through resolution, but like shop stuff out, thin the herd, quality control, better cases, less cases. And it took probably 6 or so years to get to the point where it was really time to shift gears and say, okay, the lifestyle I want needs to start impacting the way that the firm is run. And, you know, what that has, you know, those efforts, and it's still an ongoing thing. There will eventually be a day, you know, and it may be another 5 years, possibly 10 years until this happens, where I have pieces in place within this firm that truly allow me to not show up here. They're not here now. They're not an overnight goal of mine, because I have, you know, certain investment products that I am, you know, in retirement things that I've got, you know, payouts being made over a course of time that I want to at least get to the finish line on certain things to be like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to say, I'm out, which I wouldn't actually do, because obviously, like all of us, we provide services to the communities that we're part of. And, you know, me deciding to just shutter my practice creates a ridiculous vacuum in my community for what I do, which I wouldn't want to do, because I take a lot of pride in the results that we get for our clients and the work that we do for our clients. And I don't know, I operate with a feeling, which I think is substantiated in reality, that I'm providing a higher level service than most others that do what I do, where or near I do it. So taking that away would be a bad thing, not just for me, but for the community.
Well, so, plus, you're serving people, but the firm doesn't run you, right? So,
right.
So I think that's a big thing here is, if you were completely burnt out and you're like, I just hate this every day, then you would probably be more likely to shut it down and get out of it,
Yeah. But I think that having, having the outlet to do other things, and some of that for me, and it doesn't have to be this for everybody, but I like to travel. So being able to travel, but have it also be with a purpose, not just going on vacation, whether it be, like I said, the run of shows that I'm doing in Rochester at the Fringe Festival, they're not benefiting a nonprofit. I mean, the Rochester Fringe Festival itself is a nonprofit, but it's not, I'm not doing a fundraiser show for an organization specifically. But other places,
there's still a reason you're traveling versus
But there's a reason, there's a purpose, exactly. Which I think is great, because then I get to do stuff and I pay the IRS less money by being able to write that stuff off. Little added benefit there. I mean, who's not always looking for some sort of a tax write-off here, there, or otherwise?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then also, again, in doing these fundraiser shows, there's a warm feeling from being able to help out an organization that's doing something good for somebody else.
Yeah, well, I love that, and everything you're doing is super cool. And again, with the firm, you've kind of got it to a place where it works for you, and you can do these other things that you're passionate about and help people out in other ways. And then to kind of take it back to being a board, I've been a board member on lots of organizations, and still am. So, yeah, I assume a lot of lawyers on listening are board members and part of the community in different ways. But it's, just to kind of wrap it up and bring it back to your thing, uniquefundraisersideas.com, as a board member, you're always like, how can I come up with the next cool thing? Or I was on a board for young professionals that had a casino night every year over and over and over and over again. And so eventually you're like, okay, we got to do something different or add that extra event that maybe brings in the extra money. You want to be that board member that can kind of bring in something different. And so, you're always sitting around spitballing ideas and stuff like that. So I think what you're doing is cool, because neither one of the services that you offer were even in the mix, right? Because it's not something that we thought about.
Yeah.
Or that was maybe even available. So I think that's really cool. But yeah, if you're a board member out there, no matter where, if it's local or whatever, I keep them in mind. I think it's a really kind of cool. It's risk-free too. I mean,
And the thing that I've been telling everybody, and I'll put it here because why wouldn't I tell everybody watching this? Just share that. Share that link on your social media, with or without explanation, because even though you might not be on a board, you might not be in the mix for a nonprofit, you might not have kids on a sports team or a marching band or a drama club that are looking to raise an extra 5-10 G's this year, somebody in your social sphere of influence probably is. And you'd be doing them a solid. And the great thing is, and I'll just backdoor this to another little plug for you guys doing what you do and doing it right. If you just type that in, the preview thing that pops up when you're typing a URL into whatever social media it is, it literally has the text uniquefundraisingideas. Or whatever. It just says what it is. So you legit could just post the link onto your social network with no explanation, and it explains itself. So super easy. Just drop it out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, as a board member in the past, when you come up with those ideas, I think you always get shut down because, like, well, who's going to sell the tickets? Who's going to do this? Who's going to, you know, so that's kind of where you get stopped is ideas are great, but who's going to execute? And so, you know, the fact that you guys bring all that to the table is.
We bring it to more, the table for the
more places like what, more event type, you know, companies should be doing this stuff. Honestly, I think it's a huge gap is you hope people come to you to have a casino night and you bring in casino tables, but you don't help them sell the tickets or promote it. They don't really care if anyone shows up or not because they're getting paid.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge gap out there. You know, with what you're doing is you bring the whole thing to the show. You know, you bring it all. So
yeah,
pretty cool. Yeah, well, anyway, I mean, I'm excited. Yeah, we got to build this for Joe Beth, and we're doing some ongoing stuff for him. And again, we're not in the business to make websites and do marketing for magician shows and hypnosis shows, but our client needed our help, so we're happy to help. And let's honestly, I was telling Joe Beth, like, my team likes to do some different stuff. We work on law firm stuff all day. So it's kind of nice when we get to do something, you know, out of our wheelhouse.
A little bit of a twist. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We got some cool stuff we've done out there, for clients. You know, I got one client, he does business brokerage on the side. So, you know, he buys and sells businesses. So we built them, you know, a site and stuff for his side business for that. I like to see what other, you know, what lawyers are up to, other, you know, what other businesses they're into. And again, post anything you're into. If you have a side business, post it in the comments. I'd be excited to see what you got. So, Joe Beth, anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
I mean, that's kind of the thing. Anything I didn't say is on that website. So, works out quite well that way, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I just think, you know, take this as a lesson, you know, Joe Beth, again, running a personal injury firm that's very successful, doesn't have to be there all day, still runs a side business that he is successful at as well, and enjoys it and travels and all those good things. So, you know, just kind of a proof that, you know, you can do that if you're not in that spot. And remember, you're running ragged. You know, you got to make some decisions and it will not happen overnight. My company, I have three companies, technically. Marketing different verticals with different teams. I can't walk away, but I'm also not needed to be here every day. So,
right.
But same with you, 5 to 10 years. Yeah. I'd like to be there a little bit less. Not in the cards right now, but things are going the direction that we want them to go.
I mean, you got to have a plan, you know, and it doesn't matter whether that plan is to get out of the primary gig in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it's going to be different for everybody. But if you're not thinking about it, you know, from now, you're never going to get there, you know, so starting to put that and everything that I'm doing with these performances is geared toward me potentially if I want to. No obligation because I've put other things into place that I certainly won't need it financially, but you got to have something to do. So I am slowly and over time building a second career. You know, I don't do 300 of these shows a year right now, and I'll probably never do 300 of these shows, but yeah. To be able to do, you know, a year. To be able to do, you know, to set up a schedule where I'm routinely traveling and doing 100 shows a year, which some people in this profession would consider to be full time. You know, it's the building blocks are there. I'm putting it into place at the same time where I'm finding other opportunities to delegate and replace myself within the law practice. And it's a balance like anything else.
Well, you know, something that you said real quick and we'll wrap it up. You know, it's ways out, but the thing is you're living right now, right? So if you're just inundated and underwater right now, you're going to continue that way. Like you need to start making decisions, plan to get tomorrow to be a little bit better than today and then the next day a little bit easier, and get yourself out of it. Cause it's easy to be like, hey, well, I'm just so slammed and busy, I can't think about any of that stuff. And then you're just going to be right where you're at tomorrow. So why not have a better life today?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I love it, man. I love everything you're doing. I appreciate you being a client and multiple client. Yeah, just love what you're doing. So excited to hear what other people are doing. Comment below. I'll comment back. Message me. Love to hear what you're doing out there. So, Joba, thanks so much for joining me. Everyone, have a great day, and we will see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.